This is A Wild Conversation.
Hi, I'm Callum. I'm a keeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo. I'm joined with Ashley.
Ashley Wysick, also a keeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And today we're going to have a wild conversation.
Awesome.
So it's a new year. You know what year it is?
2022.
Which is year of?
The tiger.
Right. Have you told Hannah yet?
I have, yes.
Any special enrichments to honor the new year?
Just every day forever. Not really. I've been giving her mostly her favorite stuff and a lot of it.
Cool. Actually,
although, to be fair, that's not really any different. I usually spoil her, so I don't even really know how to kick up my game enough for her to notice a difference.
That's fair. I suppose we could tell guests, you know, that it's Year of the Tiger, so be sure to give Hannah the proper props
that's
if you
true.
Want a good luck in this year, of course.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, could you imagine if Hannah was the one who got to decide your fate? She'd be living her dream.
Oh yeah, definitely.
She's such a drama queen sometimes.
And she loves to see people passing by, especially on snowy days.
Oh, she's definitely probably one of our most interactive animals here. She's so funny. She was the one animal that when we had to close down a little bit for COVID, she missed people. We would have to, I don't know if you remember when we went and took our lunches with her because she just wanted that interaction.
I wasn't there for that. No. That was just before I started.
Oh yeah, it was so funny. We'd all go down there and have lunch with her and we'd throw her food, and half the time for the first little bit, she would ignore her food. She'd just run along the fence and show off for us and roll around. Oh, she loves people.
Oh, man. Wow. Speaking of years in the Chinese zodiac, what year are you born in?
Did you just ask a woman for her age?
No. No, it could be any year, remember, because the zodiac keeps cycling. So.
I'm born in the year of the rat.
Born in the year of the rat?
Year of the rat.
What are the traits of the rat?
I have no idea.
I heard
I know story, that I was born in the year of the rat. No idea past that.
So I remember hearing about the story of the Chinese zodiac, right?
Yeah.
And the rat is supposed to be a trickster. So he actually, I think it was the Jade Emperor who basically asked the animals to cross a river. And the order that they would cross the river would determine where they fell in the zodiac.
Okay.
And the dragon was a bit behind because he went back to help some people, some other animals cross the river. The rat cleverly climbed on top of the ox and jumped off its nose last minute and got in front of the ox. So that's
funny. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
What year are you born in?
I am born in the year of the sheep.
Yes. Oh.
I don't know why, but sheep seems to be a very common theme in my life. Born in the year of the sheep. Their star constellation is the ram.
There you go.
And guess what the mascot of my university was that I went to? The ram. Rody ram.
That's awesome. The whole universe is like, this is what you get, Cal. This is your destiny.
Right? Oh my God.
Yeah, I am born the year of the rat, but I'm also a Taurus, so I'm a bull. And I don't know. I don't know zodiacs and I don't know astrological whatevers, but I have been told that I am very much a Taurus. I don't know what that means. But apparently I am a very typical Taurus. And apparently not following those things is very typical for a Taurus. So I'm just in this weird loop where I'm like, okay.
I know this stuff doesn't really shape your life or define your destiny, or at least in my opinion. But it's really, you can't help but look and you know, kind of see what might have been determined for you, you know, or just take that quiz just for the sake of it and seeing what the answer comes up with, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. Those are super interesting to see what, like those online quizzes where you fill out the questions and they tell you who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Some of them are really accurate to the point where it's actually almost frightening. And I've had a couple where I'm like, no, that's not me.
Yeah, totally get that.
They're fun to fill out though.
Oh yeah, always fun to take part in.
Yeah. Speaking of the New Year's, did you have a New Year's resolution?
New Year's resolution.
Actually, wait. Did you achieve your New Year's resolution last year? That's the real question.
Hard to say. I don't even actually remember making a New Year's resolution last year.
Really?
I think my New Year's resolution is not to have a New Year's resolution this year. That way, I've already ticked it off the list. No, wait, I haven't. Because I had a New Year's resolution to not have a New Year's resolution, which is a New Year's resolution.
You failed again.
Oh, man. It's a cycle. I tell you. I can't escape it. But just because, you know, I'm pretty happy with things at the moment. I don't have anything that I really want to change. And I guess it would be more just to do with my work life. I didn't really make that my New Year's resolution, but there's a few things I'd like to achieve with the zoo in my work. I'm really hoping we have a bit of luck with the red pandas this year, since Sucker is pretty new there. Yeah. If we get successful breeding for the captive breeding program, that would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
How about yourself?
It's actually funny that you bring up work right at the end of that, because my New Year's resolution last year was 100% work related. I decided at the beginning of 2021 that I wanted to get trained on the African route. And my boyfriend actually got mad at me because he was like, you can't pick your New Year's resolution on something that someone else determines. You don't get to decide that. That's your workplace gets to decide. I'm like, I don't know. I want to get trained on the African route. I want to work with giraffes. And guess what? I did.
Typical Taurus.
I don't know what that means, but I'm slightly offended.
Me neither, but I just wanted to say typical something and that just seemed to work.
Yeah, me and my boyfriend this year decided instead of doing a New Year's resolution, we were going to do a theme for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of being like, oh, I'm going to try and achieve this, or I'm going to try and do sit-ups every single day, something, you know, that's going to be easy to fail, we decided the theme is going to be us. Like, we're going to just try to spend more time together. Mm. Just so when you have an option, oh, I want to go do this, try and include each other. So instead of having a set thing that you can accidentally not do, you know, you more change yourself into a mind frame.
Yeah, I totally get that.
You could do something like your theme of the year is finance, and then you just try not to buy so much McDonald's or something, you know?
Yeah.
So it's totally, that's what we decided to do this year, which is really nice.
That makes sense. It sounds really sweet too, because like, I don't know about you, but with this past pandemic that's passed by and being at home a lot, you know, you have things like Netflix, which is great, but you have so many choices of movies that if you want to watch something and your partner wants to watch something else, instead of watching the same thing together, you might go into separate rooms or watch it from a tablet or watch at different times of the day. You're not doing it together, you know? Or you're scrolling 100%. While they're watching the movies.
So. It's amazing how sometimes you can live together and spend almost no time together.
Yeah, I totally get that.
It's nuts.
Like, you know, if everything's safe and good, do an escape room together or something like that, you know?
Oh, that's actually a really good idea. Yeah, for the longest time, our days off actually were not on the same day. So when I had my days off, I'd just be home alone and he'd be home alone. So it just kind of like things happen, you know. I think he actually switched that, so we have one day off together now. But I don't know.
Totally get that.
Yeah.
Blanking.
What do we talk about now? We've talked about everything.
Yeah, I was going to talk about... Oh, just give me a second. Sorry, I just got to catch my...
It was right on the tip of your tongue?
I had something I was going to talk about, but...
You had a question for me?
Great Vancouver Zoo. Doing that. New Year's resolution. Oh, yes, that's it.
Okay.
So, do you ever wonder if animals ever wake up one year, like they notice the change in the seasons and they decide, I'm going to do something different, you know? Like,
are you asking if the animals make New Year's resolutions?
Yeah. Do you ever like stop and think if animals have a sense of time, you know, because some places, especially here in Canada, the seasons change. Bears go and hibernate when they wake up. Are they like, yep, I did really good with the salmon and the berries this year. Or this year, I'm going to focus more on the fish. You know, I did not spend enough time fishing, and I regretted that during hibernation. I did not sleep well.
Our lion boomer just wakes up one morning. He's like, this year, I'm going to pee on so many people.
I just wonder, you know, do animals actually make conscious decisions to change something when they think it's the beginning of something new?
I would definitely argue that, like, animals have a lot more consciousness to them than we were maybe taught in university or that we have thought. I remember learning, like, being told not to anthropomorphize. I don't know if you got that in your university. It's like, don't put human characteristics to non-human creatures. And it's like, I don't know. Now working as a zookeeper and getting to know animals, I would definitely argue that they've got personality, they've got intention, you know, they're doing things because they've made a conscious choice to maybe be a jerk that day.
Yeah, I totally get it. Some of my animals who are old suddenly learn to do something and decide to do it every day.
Like this is fun. I like this. This makes him turn red. This is great.
Exactly. Like the camels just one day figured out how to open the latch in their barn gate, right?
Yeah.
So they can't get outside the barn because there's a door, a gate, and another gate between them and that. But they can manage to open the latch of their barn store and they get access to my tools, which Gemma picked up and she dropped on the floor every single tool. And she foamed it up like with camel saliva and foam and stuff like that.
It was a gift.
And I thought, oh, wow, she must have scratched herself on the gate and somehow managed to shift the latch. That must be it. And the hook that's usually in place must have come off. It was an accident. Nope. Next day, same thing. Day after that, same thing. Day after that, same thing.
She locked found
that
a gate really up.
She opened
up
the other gate that was a latch that was like a human door. So she couldn't even fit through that one, but she knew it was a latch. Like she figured that out. So now I have to have a chain around that with a, what do you call them? Like a swivel?
Carabiner?
Yeah, exactly. A carabiner to stop her. But she, you know what? She might figure that out.
Aren't you excited when you develop a new hobby or a new skill that you never knew you had before?
I mean,
hers is latches. It's exciting. I remember the first time my little brother discovered scissors and he cut apart one of my comic books and I was very, very upset. You know, so I have a new skill. I have to cut all the papers.
Yeah. It's like a part of you's like, you know what? Good for you. But a part of you's like, oof. Oh.
Especially as I've heard about camel saliva. That must have been so gross to have to pick up your rake and be like, ugh.
You know, half the time you don't notice. You grab for the latch or the door or something and you feel it. And you're just like, oh, Stemma, no. Because it's the start of your morning.
Gotta love gloves.
You know what? That's great. I usually put the gloves on after I've opened the door and I'm about to go in to clean out the camels.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
No, I start my day by putting my gloves on. Even just because I'm always cold and it helps me keep my heat inside my body.
I have to keep taking my gloves off to handle the keys. Okay. I don't know why, but I haven't got the same dexterity. It takes me longer to fiddle around with the keys. So I usually take my gloves off for that to get into the barn.
You need thinner gloves.
I do.
There's like those gloves you get at the dollar store. Those are like my favorite gloves. They're just super simple. They basically hug your fingers and it's like a little new layer of soft skin. The fancy gloves I use at home and yeah, I have to take them off to use anything.
Yeah. I mean, gloves are really useful at work here.
Oh yeah.
You know, we're always hands-on and stuff like that. And it's not even just the plastic gloves that we use to make sure that the environment's sterile. It's just the regular gloves because, you know, we're always working with our hands and
And especially in the winter.
Oh yeah.
I love my gloves. Sometimes I double up gloves because it's so cold.
How have you been thawing out your padlocks when they get frozen? We had a bit of frozen rain earlier.
My route is a very intense route. I work on the carnivore route. So, you know, intensity is my thing. We have a blowtorch.
A blowtorch?
I have a handheld blowtorch.
Oh, man.
Hooked up to a propane tank and I just give it a good, yeah. And then what happens though is when you defrost your locks is that then they're basically covered in moisture and they'll freeze way more solid. So you have to actually stick the lock in your pocket for about 30 seconds so that it kind of dries inside my fuzzy jacket. And then you can lock it back up again. Bit of a process, but at least I only spend like 3 seconds trying to open the lock.
Yeah, you guys are pretty high tech. Me, I use the primitive kind of Bear Grylls technology. Yeah. All right, we're here in the wild and I've got a frozen padlock. You need water, you need to feed your animals. You know? So basically I grab the padlock and I just, I blow
you
on it.
Blow into
it. But sometimes it's not enough. You have to breathe to get the heat out.
Yeah.
Because when you blow, it's not as hot.
Yeah.
And after a few puffs, you usually can get them unlocked. But it's
pretty
funny.
Use your bare hands to get the warmth.
Huh?
I remember when I was on the South American route, we used to just use our bare hands because the warmth from your hands will warm up the padlock.
Oh, no,
it sucked.
I need the warmth from my hands.
Yeah,
I need to keep that as long as I can.
Well, I really like my blowtorch.
I'm
top notch.
I'm going to have to borrow that, you know, without asking.
Oh,
and then you'll be like, where's my blowtorch?
I shouldn't have told you about it. Oh my gosh. But we have so many locks on carnivore, but just because our animals are so dangerous, it's so important to make sure. And we have all sorts of processes. So it's like three different locks to get to the foxes. You go through this gate, and then this gate. And there's like a hallway. So you go through this gate, lock it behind you, and then go through the other gate. And it's like that almost every enclosure. So I think we technically have like the most locks of any route.
That's good. Yeah, that's yeah. That's the way it should be. It's like a, is it a double door system?
It's like doubles, depends on the enclosure. Some of them are double door. Some of the doors are double lock. You've got a bottom lock and a top lock. Mm. And yeah, like hallways and all sorts of stuff. I have so many locks I am doing a day.
Jeez. Yeah, no wonder you guys are carrying the blowtorch.
Yeah, we're like, no, if we had to like sit and warm up the locks with our breath, we would be at the zoo for 15 hours trying to just trying to get our day done.
I think in Hoofstock we usually have double locks, so you go through the gate that would keep people away from the fence line so that the animals would be on, and then you have the lock to get in. I think the only one that has an extra door would be the red pandas.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
because they have a corridor next to their barn and whatnot.
Okay, yeah. In that case, then yes, we actually have a triple door system because we've got the perimeter that the people are in, and then there's another door before you get into the area before the enclosure.
That's good.
Yeah, so it's intense.
Yeah, you have to be intentionally hopping over fences to get anywhere that would be dangerous. Yes. Pass through a few signs that say, do not cross, do not enter.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious where you are allowed to be.
Yeah, definitely. I think word to the advice to anyone who's at a zoo and they're walking an area that they think they shouldn't be. If you do not see a fence between you and the enclosure, you're definitely where you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Definitely not. And you probably would have passed by a bunch of signs that say, do not cross this point.
Yeah.
I know we've got a railroad that goes around the zoo.
Oh my gosh,
often
yeah.
Often people will
walk right down it. It's like, no.
Definitely
this
not.
Is not a public area. Also, like, some of our fences seem random, but like we have a little fence that's around, I think, two of our statues out there, and I know that they put those there because those statues aren't always stable. So a couple times I've stopped families and said, hey, the reason why those statues are behind the fence line is because we don't want you to climb up on them and take photos, but all the other ones are up for games. So like if you see a fence, it's usually there for a reason.
Definitely. Yeah.
And signs, lots of signs.
Oh yeah, always.
I swear people just don't even read signs sometimes.
I think the only animals that you should be anywhere near without a fence is probably going to be the peacocks and the guineas.
And the guineas, yeah, that's true, because they do free roam the entire park.
That's nice for them.
Yeah, they're so funny. Although lately, with all this cold weather, they've basically holed themselves up in our hay barn because it's so nice and warm in there. And our keepers, I don't know if you noticed that the South American keepers set up like this big bowl with all the different varieties of food for them. So they're just living their good life in the back over there.
I've been jealous of them. I've stopped there to pick up hay and I see all these four or five male peacocks, you know, all nestled warm and comfy in the straw, and their food's just down there, and you know, they've fluffed up a little pillow for them and stuff like that.
And then you go to pick
and
up
I've
your...
I've still got to go out there and I've got to change waters. I've got this. I'm going to slip on the ice, all that stuff. And
then you pick up your hay bale and there's a nice piled little peacock poop right on the top just to remind you.
Yeah,
I know. I got to clean off your hay in there now, but they're living their good life.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. And then during the summer, they'll be out wandering around the place, putting on displays and whatnot. I can't wait to see the peacocks displaying their feathers again.
Oh, they're such beautiful animals. Mm. Yeah, and they're so funny because they have access to the entire zoo. They can go wherever they want. And half the time, they're all at the playground. Like, maybe they just want to have a good time with all the kids. I don't know. But it just seems so funny to me. It's like, buddy, you got 120 acres to pick from, and they're all just like right here. Right where all the little kids are dropping stuff. That's where we are.
It's crazy to think like that peacocks have such long tail feathers. Mm-hmm. Like you would think that something would be able to grab them, even when they're on a tree, because of the length of their tail feathers.
They're so agile. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen them actually like fly, but yeah, they can move when they want to.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. Like I've seen them get frightened by something. I can't remember what, but one of our peacocks flew straight up into a tree and it almost scared me because big flash of blue and green just flashed right past me. I was like, oh, sorry, Steve. I don't know what scared you there.
Cool, man. So is there anything that you're looking forward to this year? Is there something else that you wanted to experience?
Oh gosh. I don't know, man. I'm kind of living my best life right now at work. You know, I'm part carnivore, part African. Like, this is the best combination of roots that I've ever worked. I'm quite happy.
I mean, you know, there's other roots. I mean, you know, that's a little bit. Little
are
bit,
there, though? Little are bit there really?
Not to mention the hoofstock. Red pandas. I mean, enough said, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm not really, I don't plan, I used to plan really far ahead, but last few years has been kind of more going with the flow, enjoying every day.
One thing I definitely want to check out is here in BC, you have a species of newt called the rough skin newt.
Okay.
Supposed to be the most toxic newt in the world.
Oh.
Right? So it has okay. You have to eat it. To experience the toxin.
Okay, so no eating really, newts.
Yeah, definitely that's not.
Good to know. Just
amphibians in general, don't eat them.
Don't go out into the wild and put animals in your mouth. Noted, thank you.
Exactly. But I know that they have a spawning in late spring or early summer.
Okay.
And I know it's just something I've always wanted to see. I've seen the garter snakes, and I hear they've got a resistance to their poison.
Oh.
It's kind of like an arms race they've got. Where the newts are becoming as poisonous as they can to not get eaten by predators, but the snakes in response are becoming as resistant to the poisons as much as they can to eat the newts. So you end up with areas where, like, it's not even just the whole species. Like, certain spots around the west coast of North America have far more poisonous newts. Like, they're way more toxic than the ones, let's say, a bit further down south or a bit further north. Because they've developed that because of the garter snakes, but the garter snakes themselves are way more resistant.
That's kind of hilarious. They're right. Like, aha, we know what to do. And the garter snakes are like, oh yeah, watch this.
Yeah. And the garter snakes apparently can actually quantify how toxic they are. Apparently they can get them in their mouths and they will let go of really toxic individuals that might make them feel slightly sick.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Right? How they're able to pick that up.
Animals are just fascinating. Like, when you get to know them and you're learning all this new stuff. I have a degree in biology and I learn things every single day about animals, you know? Like, there's so much to learn. It's amazing. I love animals.
Definitely. There's something really cool, like, about their individual ways of surviving. Like, the toxin these newts have is the same toxin that pufferfish have. An octopus and certain species of crab, I think.
Interesting.
So, you know, the same toxin that kills people from eating pufferfish when it hasn't been prepared properly, which I would not recommend even if it has been prepared properly.
Okay, noted.
Is, like, if you've ever heard of that deadly poisoning that you can get from a pufferfish.
I remember the Simpsons episode. Yes.
That one brought it to life. Apparently, because the chef has to remove the liver and I think a certain other part of the pufferfish's body for it to be safe, and there just can't be any contamination.
Oh.
Like, because of this poison. And the newts have the same thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
It's a neurotoxin, right?
Ooh, those are dangerous.
Oh, yeah. So it's the one that, like, binds to your nervous system and stops you from sending impulses through your nerves. So it stops you from breathing.
Which is bad.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Very, very bad. I mean, have you heard of the, I think that reminds me of the blue-ringed octopus. Have you heard of those?
Yes.
Have you seen the, like, memes of someone like, hey, look at this really cute octopus I found, and it's a picture of this person holding one with their hands, and the comments underneath are like, in all caps, telling them to, like, put it down, go to a hospital.
Oh.
Oh my God. If you know what you're looking at, that's terrifying.
Definitely. Like, those are really deadly. And the worst part is that they're beautiful. And that's the problem.
They're gorgeous and they're tiny, so they're adorable. And so people are like, oh, I'm going to touch it. Don't touch it.
Oh, no.
If you don't know what it is, you probably shouldn't touch it.
Definitely. Like, oh, my God. She's so lucky she wasn't bitten.
Yeah.
They are really toxic, and they hang out in tidal pools, I think. So yeah. They're really bad for kids. So if you ever take your family or if you're ever in the tide pools around, I think, parts of Southeast Asia and Australia, do not pick up any octopus with blue rings. Matter of fact, if it's a brightly colored animal,
yeah, that usually,
leave it alone.
Usually is an indication that I am dangerous. Mm. Try me.
Exactly, right?
Come at me. Oof. I'll take you down.
That's why it's really funny that there are these, like, these moochers in the animal kingdom, you know, the ones that are brightly colored but not poisonous. But yeah, their whole point is to imitate the animals that are poisonous.
Yeah. That doesn't always work out, though, because then sometimes predators will come across the non-poisonous varieties first, and so it doesn't help them. And then the predator later comes across the same similar thing. They're like, oh, it was safe last time. And then all parties don't benefit.
So, you know how to tell the difference between a milk snake and a coral snake?
It has to do with the colors. I used to know it.
Okay, life or death question here. What color pattern is the coral snake?
Oh, God. Well, it's got yellow, black, and red.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, and it's like...
This is like diffusing a bomb.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Color pattern. It's like... Oh, there's something where it's like, if one color touches another, you're a dead fella. Dead fellow. Red touches yellow, you're a dead fellow.
Yep, that's good. You got it.
Yes. Oh, that was terrifying. That was like, oh, I feel like I'm in university taking like a pop quiz.
No, you nailed it. Nice. That was awesome. I saw you go through the whole process. If this was a math question, you showed your work in there. That was good. Red and yellow could kill a fellow, and red and black, you're right, Jack, or something.
You're all
like
right,
that.
Jack. Yeah.
But oh,
wow.
Still.
That, I have not brought that up since probably high school. Wow. See, things like that, though, they're amazing. Like, when you can make little patterns that help you to remember really important facts, that was, like, my favorite thing to do. So, one, I have a side job. I don't know if you know this, as a tutor. So I tutor maths and sciences for high school kids. Mm-hmm. And that's my favorite thing, is to try and make associations. They're fantastic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It makes it click in your head better, you know, you can remember them.
And sometimes kids are struggling and you give them some kind of a pattern where they can be like, oh, yeah, and done. They're good. They got this, you know?
Yeah. That's totally what you want. That being said, on poisonous animals, if you do come across a mimic and you're absolutely sure it's a mimic, still treat it like the poisonous one.
Just in case. Show a vast amount of respect.
I've heard horror stories of experts who have picked up a mimic and they get bit by it, and then they take a closer second look and they're like, wait a minute.
It's not a mimic.
And yeah. I'm in trouble.
No, 100%. You should just not risk it.
Yeah. It's the funny ways that animals show us what's going on, like warning systems or something in their behavior. It's always important to be reading it and to give it respect, even if you think that animal's not much of a threat, just to, you know, give them their space.
They're always communicating with us. It's just whether or not we're paying enough attention to see that, you know? They'll give you warning signs. Animals will always give you warning signs before they do something like hurt you. You know, because a lot of animals, especially if they're a lot smaller, they're not coming at you because they think they can take you, you know, especially like a small snake or like a little lizard. You know, they're not just like, you know what, I'm going to take on this beast that's 3,000 times my size today. I've decided. They usually have given you warning signs first.
Yeah. It's like when you see those mantises with their pincers, not pincers, their arms like waving in the air, and they might have their wings poking out.
Yeah. They're like, look how scary I am. Okay, bringing this back to red pandas, because I know you work with red pandas online. One of the funniest things I've ever seen is when red pandas get scared and they try to look big and scary. They stand on their back legs and they put their arms up to try and appear larger and more dangerous.
Yep.
Probably one of the cutest things I've ever seen. You do not look intimidating, sir.
That's like poor translation, you know? It's like when when you try to say something directly in your own language and it does not translate well. Like, because for the red panda, I'm bigger. These are my claws up in the air. They will come straight down if you try and touch me. But to us, it's like little stubby legs, big round head, reaching up with their arms. It's a baby asking to be picked up.
Yeah.
And that's a prime example of bad translation in it for people.
It's pretty funny because they're like, look how scary I am. And we're all just like, aww.
Exactly. And see, that would be a good New Year's resolution, is like, you know, for people to think about, like, what are different animals trying to tell us, like about how they're feeling or what they're doing? Am I reading this right? That kind of thing.
Yeah,
but exactly. You know, it's always always good to get these kind of things down and to figure them out.
Yeah, or even just pay attention to the little things around us.
Well, I really enjoyed having a wild conversation with you.
I have enjoyed myself as well. Lots of laughs.
Definitely. Well, happy New Year of the Tiger. I hope everyone's having a great day. And if you have any questions for us, please don't hesitate to contact us at podcast@gvzoo.com. I'm Callum Hughes.
And I'm Ashley Wysick.
And this has been A Wild Conversation.